Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome into the NFL Free For All. I'm your host, Brian Hughes, along with my co-host, Mr. Norm Arendez. We've got a special show for you tonight. We're going to be talking the NFL free agency period, what has happened since that opening day. Norm, we're going to have to start calling me Houstradamus because I pretty much correctly predicted almost every single quarterback, and we'll make sure that we give Ty some guff about that because he said I'd be wrong. But I digress. Before we go any further, let me bring in my co-host for the evening, Mr. Norm Arendez. Norm, how you doing tonight?
I'm doing great. Thanks, Brian.
So, Norm, we're going to be talking about NFL free agency. We're kind of through that first and second tier now, kind of into, quote-unquote, the third tier of free agency, if you will. A lot of teams have shifted their focus now to the draft, so we will talk about that. I also want to talk about how COVID-19, you know, everybody's, you know, obviously talking about the health ramifications, but we're a sports show. So I want to talk about how will and how does COVID-19 really impact both the prospects and the NFL teams as far as what they're able to really do. So I want to get into that a little bit. And we do have a couple legends here in the building. Let me start with Mr. TP Timeless. TP, how you doing tonight?
Out of the two of them, I believe they loosened up the tie, stepped aside the kitchen. Timeless is alive. I wonder why you and Norm, well, Norm didn't say anything, but I wonder why you got to slip it for me. Like, I didn't come in here to start no trouble. I'm here to eat too.
Whoa.
Well, Norm,
what's up? I hope you're safe, brother.
You know what? I do have one one shout out to give. I want to give a shout out now that we're all in tune with my man, the Tiger King, Joe Exotic. I want to give him a shout out from jail cells because I know he's doing fine tonight. So shout out to Joe Exotic, the Tiger King.
All right, and then we do have one more chef to bring into the building. This is a blast from way back. Your boy, my boy, Sirius, how you doing tonight?
You know, man, it's about time I got back in the building with my man, Breaking News Hughes. Man, it's been far too long, man. I hope you and the family are well, man. It was good.
Well, now that we got all the boys here in the building and we're all talking, I think it's important to start with where we were right. So, Norm, we did talk free agency. We talked quarterbacks in particular, you know, and call it what you will, but Tom Brady did end up in Tampa Bay, and there was one host on the panel that said he'd end up in Tampa Bay. I want to get your initial thoughts on him going to Tampa Bay, and is this a good move, not just for Tampa, but is this a good move for Tom?
Well, I'll tell you right now, the reason why he wound up in Tampa Bay is there's no other takers. To be honest with you, the best spot for him to go was back to New England, but him and Belichick did not see eye to eye. Nobody knows the truth behind that other than those two. But really, he had no other options. I don't, you know, L.A. they said was interested, but I don't know how interested. And I do know, because I was hoping to see the dark horse. I really wanted to see him go to Oakland, just because I actually like John Gruden and what he's doing, as much as I hate Oakland. Or I'm sorry, Las Vegas. And there was reports that there was a little windbreak in there. But at the end of the day, he landed in Tampa Bay because that's the only place he could go.
All right, fair enough. Mr. TP Timeless, what's your thoughts on Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay?
I think it's a fun move. I don't like it because, yeah, he does have pieces in that receiving core, but I still want people to think Tampa Bay's defense is not all that. They give up a lot of points. This isn't the defense that protected them last year at being one of the top – I'll be fair, they were one of the top three defenses in the league last year. He's going to have to go out there and literally give them – and I want to be fair with the number. He's going to at least have to give them 27 points a game to win games, and that's a fair number. Like, I feel like he's still going to have to get, like, 31, 34, and I feel like I'm pushing him because he's going to be, what, 43 at the start of the season. So, I mean, the best part about this move is that he's guaranteed his full contract. I've never seen that in my life. Like, he's getting the full 50 with incentives. So it's like, what if they don't make the playoffs? What if Tampa falls out? They are dealing with at least the Saints. At least the Saints, right? And then you got to think Atlanta just got Gurley, so that's going to be crazy. Listen, he's going to have wars. Like at this point in time in his career right now, and granted, I give him his claim. He's the best quarterback of all time. I'm giving it to him right now. He got it. But right now, at this point in time in his career, where he's going to have to go out there and show the world that not only am I the GOAT, but I can still put up at least four scores in a game every week, this is tough. This is tough.
All right, Sirius, I'm going to come over to you. What's your thoughts on Tom Brady going to Tampa Bay, both for him and for Tampa?
You know, honestly, man, I disagree with what TP said, and I'll get to that in a minute. But honestly, for Tom Brady, the man that spoke before TP is kind of hit the nail on the head. You know what I'm saying? There was really no other place for him to land. I, for one, honestly thought that he would – you know, find a way to finish his career in New England. I mean, the man is 42 years old. He's uprooting his family, going across, you know, to a whole new city. He has to learn a whole new playbook, get acclimated with a whole new way of doing things in the midst of this whole coronavirus situation where you're not able to kind of meet with the players and get on the practice field and run routes and have a legitimate off season. You know, with everything that's going on, I just honestly thought that the best move for him, if he wanted to indeed continue to play, would be to stay there in New England. I disagree with TP on this particular point. You know what I'm saying? The Tampa Bay Buccaneers defense isn't as bad as people made them out to be. Keep in mind, right, they were still in the thick of things with Jameis Winston throwing 30 interceptions. They have gone out this offseason and spent significant money to upgrade that defensive line, that linebacking core, as well as that secondary. So I know Tom Brady is going to do Tom Brady-like stuff, but for us to sit here and portray the Tampa Bay Buccaneers as a poo-poo defense is misguided on so many fronts when you clearly are ignoring what they've done since the last season came to a close. So I think that's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out. I, as an AFC guy, love the fact that he's out of my conference and out of my hair. As a Steelers fan, I ain't got to deal with him. But you NFC guys, good luck.
Yeah,
Before you go any further, what threats are on the defense? I want to know the threats that you think that are there.
Well, they just re-signed Ndamukong Suh. They just picked up another defensive lineman. They did some stuff in their secondary. I'm trying to pull up the names here, but
I'm looking at the whole depth chart right now. Nothing is. They're getting rid of Suh. Suh's not there any longer. They re-signed
Suh. Sue's there. Pierre Paul just resigned. They have a decent – they have
Shaq
a higher draft pick. And Shaq Barrett's there. They have a high draft pick. They're going to draft somebody, I'm pretty sure, to update that defense. And you also got to keep in mind, a lot of their issues was the simple fact they were on the field just way too much because Jameis Winston couldn't protect the football. You're not getting 30 turnovers from Tom Brady this year. You know what I'm saying? And they were still in the thick of the playoffs last year with Jameis Winston. They didn't bow out until significantly late. So you cut down on the turnovers. You got Tom Brady who can distribute that rock, manage a football game. Yo, you're right in the thick of things, even in the toughest division in football now in the NFC South. So, well, we'll talk about that, and that's another conversation of the day. But I don't think the Tampa Bay Buccaneers defensively are in bad shape as Jameis Winston put them in.
You know, I'll put one last comment on that real quick. I don't really care about the stats of what Tampa Bay did last year, but when you ask me to name the top 10 teams in the league, Tampa Bay don't come up. So that's how far off they are.
That's indicative of the quarterback, though.
Hold on.
Lavonte David, when has he made noise in the past 3 years? Four. Like you're going to name names because you see these names. When have these guys been knocking people on their tails? If you look at their team defense, their numbers are horrendous. Yeah, and I give you credit on saying that, Jameis Winston was turning the ball over. They were on the field. So I give you some credit in this. But these guys are still going to have to go up against a hungry Saints team that feel like they've been robbed for the past 3 years, an Atlanta Falcons team that has been losing since they lost the Super Bowl. They've been under 500 for the past 2 seasons, and they just got Todd Gurley that got $6 million, who I think he has to prove a point. That's at least 4 games that could be in balance. And it ain't even like they have a home field edge in Tampa on no team with the Cannons. So, hey, you can take it how you want. You can fight it all you want. But I'm not sold on his defense. Look at their team defense numbers and then talk to me.
I feel you there, okay? I definitely feel you there with the whole look at the team defensive numbers. But you got to understand who they're getting and Thomas Brady. Look at what he did with New England with poo-poo names on offense and poo-poo names on defense. You know what I'm saying? This man wills teams to victory. And, again, you can say, give me credit for defense being on the field. Take it from a Steeler fan. Take it from a Niner fan. Defense, you have to keep your defense fresh. And they're dink and dunk it, and score points. And ultimately, at the end of the day, you really got to keep in mind this is Thomas effing Brady. You know what I'm saying?
I totally get it. Believe me, I know that. But this is a different system, and their defensive coordinator is not Belichick or the known names that you know in Massachusetts. This is all new. This is a fly-by-night offense that you got to worry about. Their defense is question marks there, and I think they've been questionable for the past 2 or 3 seasons, just to be honest.
All right. So I've listened to Ty and Norm and serious thoughts. So I actually agree much more with serious than I do with the other two. So number one, some of you guys like to look at stats. Some of you want to name watch. Last year, as bad as the Buccaneers defense, everybody wants to assume they were number one in the league at stopping the run. That you have to be good at stopping the run. Number one, first and foremost, that's like defense 101. You have to be able to make teams pass the ball. Number two, they were the number three offense in the league last year, and that was with Jameis Winston throwing 30 interceptions. Brady has never thrown more than 15 interceptions in his entire career, and 90% of the seasons he's thrown less than 10. You're telling me you give me 20 possessions extra that Brady's not going to put up more points and score more points? This is a team that's 7-9 last year, guys, and they had 6 games where they lost by single digits. 6 games. I said this last week, and I'll say it again. I think Tampa Bay's a double-digit win team this year. They have way
Disagree.
Too much offensive firepower. Everybody's vastly underrating. Brady has not had this kind of talent around him ever. Now, you might say, hey, Moss is better than Evans. Sure.
But he has Chris Godwin, who's also an all-star wide receiver or a Pro Bowl wide receiver on the other side. You have Cameron Brate. You have O.J. Howard. You have
what?
Yeah,
I let you talk.
He never seen an offense like this though.
Ty, he's never had the weapons that he has now in the prime of their career. Even when he had Moss, he was old. And he was aging and near retirement. Now, I'm not saying he didn't put up phenomenal numbers. But you look at Mike Evans and Chris Godwin, they're both in the prime of their career. You have O.J. Howard, who's 25, Cameron Brate, who's 26. They literally have almost the perfect model offense from a wide receiver standpoint. And, oh, by the way, Humphreys is a pretty damn good slot guy. So they have a lot of weapons. All I'm saying is if you think Tampa Bay is going to be a sub-500 club next year, you haven't been paying attention. This team is a good team. This team lost because they turned the ball over too many times. Plain and simple. There's a reason why Jameis Winston is not the quarterback of the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. We talked about this. Look, he led the league in touchdowns, guys. He led the league in passing yards, but he also led the league by a wide margin in turnovers, both fumbles and interceptions. You can't win in this league if you turn the ball over. So I'm saying right now, and I'm fine with staking my claim now, I'm saying right now that Tampa Bay will win double-digit games, and I'm not sold on the Saints. Drew Brees is getting older. He faded down the stretch last year, and he ain't going to get that relief of 5-6 games like he did last year because Teddy Bridgewater's gone. So, you know, they're getting a little longer in the tooth. Minnesota beat them up physically. That game wasn't as close as it looked on the scoreboard, the playoffs. So I could very easily see Tampa Bay winning that division. Both games against Tampa Bay last year for the Saints were one-score games. Yeah, you put Tom Brady in that situation, one-score game with those weapons, I think they've got a real, real decent shot to win those games. That's all I'm saying.
They've got two pass rushers.
Go ahead.
Yeah, one thing you got to remember: Tom Brady's old, and these aging quarterbacks, they don't like to get hit. And so Jameis Winston, even though he had a lot of turnovers, and I'll tell you right now, I probably watched two throws of his last year because I don't care about the Bucs. They're irrelevant, period. My whole thing with Jameis Winston is, yeah, he's not afraid to get hit. He's looking downfield. He may get sacked, fumbled. He may throw a couple up because it's a bad throw. But he's young. He's mobile. He gets out. Tom Brady, if you have him sit in that pocket more than 4 seconds, you watch him pull that thing down and duck his head. And I'm telling you, I saw a little bit of it last year. And what the Patriots did was they organized the offense to get the ball out quicker. We got to run a little more, get the ball out quicker. And so all those stars you're talking about on the edges that can run routes and beat people, they beat people off those 10, 15, 20-yard patterns. Man, I'll tell you this, Tampa Bay's O-line better hold up. And that's the big question, I think, right there.
Yeah, I think Tampa Bay, I agree with that. I think Tampa
we're
Bay's O-line
back,
does
we're,
need
who's coming out of the backfield for him? Like, this what? There's a lot, Brian. Like, Brian, that's a lot that you loaded for them right now. Granted, I give you that they'll finish above 500, without a doubt. I give you that because they do have weapons here. Like, one of the sneaky ones that you didn't even get mention was O.J. Howard at the tight end position. Like, he's a monster. You know what I'm saying?
I did mention him.
Okay, I'll give you that one. But for you to say that this is the best offense that he's seen, and I can't even think of any of these running backs out of what we see right now on their depth chart as studs, like I'm not buying it. You know them, Brian. You're here. I'm talking about the rest of the world. Like the rest of the world ain't thinking about this team as studs across the board. They have weapons offensively compared to what he's seen in Foxborough. Yes, this offense is better than the 2019 offense for New England, but if we're matching Evans, Godwin, Humphrey, if you want to throw him in there with like Moss, Welker, Stallworth, Watson, like stop, and Maroney and company. Like, they had running backs that was getting the job done. Like, I'm not buying that. And we haven't seen it. And yet, just like you said, yeah, the Saints may have looked bad. They may have not looked like themselves in that game against Minnesota. But you're making it seem like they don't have youth on that team either. Like Kamara's not young.
Know what I said?
Or Thomas has been, he dominated the league. Nobody can guard him. Like, you disregarding what the Saints got. Like, are you serious?
I told you this before free agency started, and I'll say it again. And we do have a caller that I got to bring in, but I felt it was a mistake to let Teddy Bridgewater go. I felt like he went 5-0. He knew the offense. Obviously, they wanted to let Drew Brees retire a Saint. I get it. But at this point in his career, I don't think Drew Brees can hold up for 18 games in a season. And let's be honest, if you're saying they're a playoff team, they're going to have to go at least 18, 19 games, even if they get the number one seed. I'm saying I don't think Drew Brees can play 19 games. He had 5 games off last year where Teddy Bridgewater played and won all 5 games. And if you look at his performance in the playoffs, he looked tired. I mean, I'm just calling it what it is. I love Drew Brees. I think he's a phenomenal football player. But if you take Brees off the back of his jersey and you just talk about what he's able to do, I think they made the wrong decision. I think Teddy Bridgewater was the right quarterback to keep. But he's gone now. You know, they'll probably bring Taysom back, and they'll have their little, you know, their trickery or whatever. But the bottom line is what are they going to do when Drew Brees actually can't play, if it happens this year, which I'm saying it's going to happen. So what I don't believe that he's off of a throwing pass
off of his helmet. Like, he didn't get hurt, like, leg-wise or something like that. It wasn't like he was tired. He threw the ball.
I'm not even talking about the injury. I'm talking about after he came back. He doesn't look like the same quarterback. He doesn't have the same arm strength. He doesn't have the same ability to get the ball down the field. And that's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm referring to. If you look at deep passes, here's one thing I'd just like to put out there. Just hear this, and then I want to bring Matt in. Last year, there was 2 quarterbacks that tied for number one in the league on deep passes, 20-plus yards at 60.1%. And I'm only saying this because, obviously, it includes my boy, even though he missed the pass in the Super Bowl that would have won it for us, Norm, Jimmy Garoppolo and Tom Brady. 60.1%. So for everybody saying that Tom Brady can't throw the ball deep, I disagree. But I do agree that they are going to have to make sure that they solidify the O-line. And you know what, Ty? There is still running backs out there available right now, a.k.a. Carlos Hyde, that you put him on that team, that pounding, that physical bruising style, they're a winner. You don't pay $50 million guaranteed to a guy and not assume your window's open. Don't even for a second believe that they are not going to continue to address both in free agency and in the draft. I think they'll be aggressive. I wouldn't be surprised if they move up to get players they want, whether that be on the offensive line, whether that be on defense. Tampa Bay is in a win-now mode. But let me get Matt in here real quick. Matt, welcome to the NFL Free For All. How are you doing tonight?
Hey, fellas. What's happening, my man? 100 grand.
So whose side are you on?
Right now we're talking about Tom Brady. Tell me what your thoughts are. Good deal, bad deal for him. Give me your thoughts.
It's a big change in Tampa. Me being a pretty diehard Falcons fan, it has a direct effect. I think Tampa got better, but it's just we don't know how much better. I mean, we don't know what Brady has left in the tank. I guess if I had to pick, I mean, they're probably right on the verge of playoffs, and it will come down to the wire. I guess for Tom Brady himself, it's a pretty good deal for him. I think he's getting warmer weather. Yeah. You know, new scenery, and the fans are now pumped up buying all the tickets. So I think it's a win-win right now for Tampa and Brady, but will that translate to a playoff berth? Flip a coin on that. I mean, it just depends on Atlanta. It depends on if Atlanta could do something. And, I mean, like you said, Drew Brees. I think Drew Brees could play all the games, though. I think he's a gamer. Depends on the Saints. Have been pretty solid. The Panthers just got Teddy Bridgewater. You know, how will he respond? Will he be legit? So it's not going to be easy for Brady. You know, it's going to be a struggle. He does have some talent around him, but I'm right on the fence. I'd say anywhere between 8-8 and 10-6.
All right, guys, I want to get into our next. I mean, we could talk about Tom Brady all night, but I do have literally at least 6 or 7 topics we've got to get to. So I want to talk about the next quarterback that I also correctly predicted. You know, I threw that in there, Norm. And that's Phillip Rivers, and I got on this really early. Phillip Rivers going to the Colts. Norm, what's your thoughts on Phillip Rivers going to the Colts? Good move, bad move? And do you think it's a good move for the Colts? Because I think, you know, a lot of people are saying, hey, you know, you basically just shunned Jacoby Brissett, you know, who's not going to want to be a backup after he was a starter. What's your thoughts?
Yeah, very similar. I mean, and I do give you credit on pulling that one because I didn't see that one really coming out of anywhere. But, again, it was the only place I was willing to take him. So he lands there, and I think when you look at the Colts, you know, they had their franchise in Andrew Luck, and that just kind of blindsided them. And Brissett was only there because of Luck's injury. His neck injury was out there for a little while. So Brissett was always just kind of a Band-Aid that you know, and I give Brissett credit. He filled in great. But he's not their future. They knew it. So they rolled with Phil here for a year. And the question is, you know, what are they going to do in their long term? Because it's definitely not Phil. So, you know, I mean, I guess you can call it a win for both of them. But I don't see how they really get better with Phil back there.
All right. I'm going to come over to you next, Sirius, on Rivers to the Colts. Does this make them better or worse? Norm doesn't necessarily think it makes them any better. And then were you surprised by the move?
You know what? Me and Norm are really in lockstep with these first two conversations because I have routinely – I haven't liked Phillip Rivers for a while. You know, I don't think he's a decent quarterback. And I really felt as though the Colts really did Jacoby Brissett dirty. Like, I understand that he was brought in to be a backup or a Band-Aid for Andrew Luck, but he showed last year that he can do the job. You know, he rallied the troops after Andrew Luck, you know, quit on them in the midnight hour. He played winning football for them all year. Unfortunately, they didn't make the playoffs because they spun it out late, but Jacoby Brissett could get the job done. You know what I'm saying? Again, if you kind of look at how the L.A. Chargers season unfolded, you know, it was turnovers late. It was misreads. It was skipping balls to Keenan Allen and that crew out in L.A. So I really didn't think that them bringing in Phillip Rivers was going to be the correct move to put them over the top. Now, I kind of like you, breaking news, I thought that's where you would end up landing. I was kind of reading the tea leaves myself, and that's kind of where I thought he would go. But, again, me and Norm are in lockstep. I didn't think it was a good move for the Colts or at all. I don't think this makes them any better because the issue there is the health of T.Y. Hilton. And, you know, but that's another conversation for another day. You know, I don't think they upgraded their defense. I don't think they got the right quarterback. I still think they're going to struggle with protecting the football, not turning the ball over and just doing some basic fundamental stuff. So, yeah, I'm not with that move.
Ty, I want to get your thoughts on this. I've got Norm and Sirius's thoughts. What's your thoughts on Phillip Rivers going to the Colts? Does this make them a playoff, put them in playoff consideration?
No. I like what they got in the backfield, you know, but in that receiving core, a lot needs to happen. I mean, other than T.Y. Hilton, and to be honest, it hurts because I love his first name with the T.Y. situation, but he's injury prone. Like every season, something nags him one way or another, a game or two, he's out. And everything relies on Rivers to have every one of his weapons. If he's weaponless, it's like he's powerless in the end of the movie, like The Last Dragon, you know, when Shonuk lost his powers, he couldn't get that glow while Bruce Leroy was still kicking his tail. Like, that's what Phillip Rivers is looking like. This is a one-year deal. Like, what are you going to do, re-sign him again next year in a one-year deal? What do you have him in the middle of the AFC South when every last one of these teams are hungry except the Jaguars, which I don't know what Jacksonville is doing, but you got the Texans who just got rid of one of their best pieces, and they have to prove a point. Like, they have to prove a point that they've gotten better. J.J. Watt has to prove a point that he can stay on the field for an entire season after the past three or four seasons he's been out.
J.J.'s coming to Pittsburgh. Do you see that?
Relax. And then the Titans, they're supposed to be promising with all of the money that they dumped into Tannehill, and their defense and Henry carried them. So if that doesn't work out on the offensive side, that defense is going to have to put in work. Meanwhile, we sat up there talking about Tom Brady and him being older. Rivers is older, too, and Rivers don't move at all. Like he stays still. That is the statue. Like, he's like the Rocky statue at the top of the step. Like, he's tired and can't move. So you got him in a division where they are bringing the rush, let alone he's on a fast-track turf in Indiana. That is insanity. Like, I think that is a real bad situation. That those defenses will pin their ears back and come at him a lot. You got to think about it. In the AFC West, he really worried about, like, Von Miller. And that's, like, really it. Denver, like the Raiders, he really didn't have to worry about too much. In Kansas City, I mean, they just started picking that defense up now. Their offense was the explosion that you had to worry about. Their defense just started picking that up this year. So now he's worried about defense all around him. The Jaguars, if they can get off of themselves, the Titans and the Texans, this is going to be a real tough situation for Rivers, let alone you just stunted Jacoby Brissett's growth. So you're going to end up getting rid of Rivers either this year or next, which I think this would be his one-year show, and then he'll be done. And then what are you going to do? You're going to go back to Brissett, or are you going to get another quarterback? These are the questions that they need to answer.
Yeah, you can't go back to Brissett.
All right, interesting. First three people think that this is a bad move. What's your thoughts, Matt?
Sorry, I was zoning in on you guys talking. Who are we talking about again?
We're talking about Phillip Rivers going to the Colts. Is it a good move or a bad
Phillip
move?
Rivers. Yeah. Oh, man, that guy, you cannot trust him. If you have your money on that guy and it's the fourth quarter, you know it's in the back of your mind that that guy's going to throw an interception. I would never bet on Phillip Rivers ever. I don't care what it is. I don't care who he's got. I don't trust him. Fade the Colts. That's all I got.
All right, so I'll give you guys my thoughts, and apparently I'm out on the island again by myself. So I'm going to say it's a good move. I think Phillip Rivers is going to help Indianapolis. I think Phillip Rivers is going to help Indianapolis reach the playoffs.
What?
I look at that division, guys. I love Houston. But you just traded away your best player, which, believe me, is going to have an effect on the locker room and morale. People can say that it won't, but it will.
I agree.
Number two, I don't believe in Ryan Tannehill. He just made another $100 million based off of a 5 or 6 game sample size. You could have paid Teddy Bridgewater half the amount of money and probably had twice the quarterback. And you can't just run the ball all the time. So I don't believe in Tannehill, and for that reason, I can't believe in Tennessee. So when I start just doing the process of elimination here, guys, I think the Colts have a very good defense, number one, very underrated defense. Number two, their offensive line is extremely good. It's nothing like the Chargers' offensive line. They were the number two rated offensive line in PFF grades last year. You've got three Pro Bowlers in Costanzo and Nelson. I mean, these guys are really stout up front. They've got two really good young running backs. And then you have some weapons on the outside. Now, I think that they probably need a little bit more, but I think it's just, I'm going to say the same thing as I said for Tom Brady. I'm not going to say best receiving corps because I think offensively – he's had better weapons, But when you balance out weapons with protection, I think this might be the best situation that Philip Rivers has been in quite some time. Not to mention the fact that I honestly believe that 9-7 could win this division. So I'm going to say this is a good move. I think it allows Philip Rivers to get back to the playoffs. And not necessarily because I'm saying he's a fantastic quarterback. I think he's a slight upgrade over Brissett. But I think that division is going to be bad. You got Ryan Tannehill as a quarterback of the, you know, of the Titans. You've got a DeAndre Hopkins less Houston Texans. So I don't necessarily buy into either of those teams. So I'm saying the Colts have a legitimate shot of winning that division with Philip Rivers. I give them credit for at least going for it. But we do have another caller calling in. I believe Naj is in the building. Naj, how you doing?
Yeah, I'm cooling, man. What's going on, y'all?
So we're good, man. We're actually talking about Philip Rivers going to the Colts. Pretty much unilaterally across the board, everybody has said, horrible move. Essentially, they should have stuck with Brissett. I was on the other side of the fence. I think it's a good move. What's your thoughts on the move?
For one, like I always say, man, NFL, no country for old men. You got to get some of these old guys out of here. And Philip Rivers is the perfect example, man. His arm strength is a little bit in decline. That slow shot put delivery, which has actually gotten slower over the years, DBs know how to get the jump on it now. Like, Philip, look, if Philip were retired 2 years ago, we would think of him in a different way. But he's a shell of himself. They shouldn't have brought him in. He's going to have some high turnover games that are going to go disastrous. And he's also going to have a couple games where he throws for, like, 3 touchdowns and everything looks good. And it's kind of the uneven play that they've seen, you know, for the Chargers the past few years. And he's a Ring of Honor quarterback for the Chargers, so I'm not disrespecting him. I'm just talking about at this particular point, this was a bad idea. Now, Brissett is not a good quarterback, so I'm not going to knock you on what you're saying. But the thing was, why extend Brissett last year? Why give him the money? Why not just make him play on a prove-it deal last year and then you draft a quarterback? Why burn all that money on Brissett if you really didn't believe in him and now you come into this offseason with him still on the roster, unless you're going to send him to New England or something. But, yeah, man. And the Colts, look, the Colts have a good defense, good offensive line like you talked about. So they got things in place. They got a good coach, good play caller. But, man, the trigger man aspect is really going to hurt them. I would have preferred to keep Brissett and just have him run. Like this whole trying to turn Brissett into a pocket passer, this is not going to work because he's too risk averse. Like that dude will not throw to you until you are butt booty naked wide open. He will not throw into any tight window. So, I mean, that's just a problem.
Well, we'll have to see, man. You know, like I said, I feel pretty confident. Like I said, when you look around the landscape there in the AFC South, I mean, I'm shocked that Houston, well, I shouldn't even say Houston. I'm shocked that Bill O'Brien thought it was a good idea to move, Hopkins. So any kind of team sport that anyone's ever been involved in, that knows anything about team sports, you know, you take your best player and you now ship him off, regardless if you get a decent player back or not, that messes with the overall chemistry in the locker room. And Hopkins has been there for a long time. And, you know, everybody has their own opinions. but for my money, I think he's the best wide receiver in the game. And I think this is really going to hurt Deshaun Watson. I mean, you're talking about a guy I know – you know, and I wasn't going to bring all this up, but when you look at the money that they're paying Johnson and then the money that they just doled out to Randall Cobb, they're actually paying out more money. They said that they were trying to save money, but they're actually paying more money over the course of the next 2 years than they would have if they would have just kept Hopkins' contract. So I don't get it. You know, I get they have two players now, but, you know, two inferior players doesn't necessarily equal one good player. So that's kind of my mindset on that. I do have one more caller that I'm gonna bring in here, boys, and that is Nacho. Nacho is in the building. Nacho, how you doing tonight?
on the police.
Doing pretty good.
Salute, Nacho.
Nacho, we're talking about Phillip Rivers going to the Colts. Is this a good move, a bad move for both Phillip or the Colts? Do you think it's sending the wrong message to a young team? What's your thoughts on that move?
Oh, man, that's an interesting move. I mean, you have a Jacoby Brissett who I think counts for, what, a $20 million next year. But if you cut him, I think you save, what, 10, 11? I think I might be overshooting the save. You're saving some money if you cut him. Now that you have Phillip Rivers, so Mexico, what does that say? Man, that's a tough one. I guess it all depends on how you see Phillip Rivers. And I think he's a better quarterback right now in his career than Jacoby Brissett. I think Jacoby Brissett needs to get into a situation where he needs to find stability, a coach and an offensive coordinator who actually trusts him and don't want to chip him off. That being said, I think Phillip Rivers in this team makes a lot of sense. He will have a wall in front of him, something he did not have the last few years. He'll have Frank Reich. I think I don't want to get the numbers wrong, but I'm probably going to butcher him. Somewhere about, 3,500 yards a season, somewhere in the range of, 35-40 touchdowns he was averaging. And he was playing really well in Frankfurt down there, and I think it was San Diego at the time, not LA. I'm not sure about the timeline exactly when they switched over. But, yeah, so you get that coupling. Is that going to rekindle? He's got the weapons there now. So, yeah, again, he's not in a division with the defending champs anymore. He's not in a division where the Broncos are getting better, where some might say the Raiders could be getting better. So, you know, he's in a division now where it looks like it'll be a cakewalk if you look at the other three teams and what they've decided to do in this offseason.
All right, boys. I want to go ahead and transition. I know they're not the most seamless, but I got a packed building here, and there's several topics that I feel like we have to get to. And because during this time frame, there are so many people working from home, so many people that are potentially tuning in because of the COVID-19 virus, I want to go ahead and talk about that for a second. And not in the context that some people might think, like, I don't want to necessarily talk about being safe and social distancing and all that good stuff. But I want to talk to it as how it relates to the NFL and how this pandemic has impacted not only teams, but potential prospects. Because remember, every year there is only so many people that are invited to the combine. There is a lot of kids that end up getting noticed at pro days, at individual workouts. There's a lot of players out there that had medical red flags, and they weren't able to be reevaluated, which means there's a good chance these guys might not get drafted. And a lot of the NFL executives basically said, hey, let's push the NFL draft back. We can push it back to June, July, and it really have no major impact on the NFL. But obviously the NFL said, no, we're not going to do that. So with that, without any further ado, Norm, I'm going to come to you first. What is your thoughts on how COVID-19 is going to potentially impact not only the NFL this year, but the draft and the prospects that weren't able to go to the combine?
Yeah, I mean, well, most of those guys you talked about that don't go to the combine, that's late round stuff. We're talking round four and beyond, I'm thinking, or maybe even further. You know, I mean, really, I think, and I don't get too involved in the draft. I don't read a lot of reports on what's going on with all that, but you know, all the no name talents are there. And if anyone's got any kind of a history problem, that goes against them. And really, this is going to get down to who's got a good recruiting system, who has good scouts. You know, when you look at the NFL and you look at teams that constantly draft well, they obviously have good people doing good work, and that's going to pay huge dividends on this upcoming draft. You know, but you're still going to have people that miss on certain prospects in the first few rounds, and you'll have some people make a steal. Does it affect the players themselves late on trying to sell themselves and get that last little chance to be the same? Absolutely. But, you know, we've seen plenty of cases of undrafted free agents that work their way on. And, you know, I'll tell you this, hard workers that that outperform others always find a way. It will impact what they make, though. Obviously, if you're a fourth-round pick compared to undrafted free agent, there is ramifications on your paycheck.
Sirius, I'm going to come over to you. What's your thoughts on how this pandemic could potentially impact the NFL, not only this year, but also the draft and the prospects from this class?
You know, man, I would be remiss if I'm glad we're talking about that. You know what I'm saying? Here's the deal. You know, we are afforded the luxury of going to combines and pro days. But I wanted to make this very, very clear. Like, that work isn't done in a vacuum. Like, these scouts that teams send out have been eyeing players, looking at film on players long before this has even happened. I mean, I dare say, you know, these coaches and these scouts have 2-3 years of film on a particular player. So it's not like they're going into this blind. Now, breaking news, you did say, you know, that people who have dealt with medical situations are not being evaluated by team doctors. You know, Tua Tagovailoa comes to mind. You know, he's one of the big ones that is expected to go, you know, in the top five coming off that injury. And, you know, you got teams like Miami, Detroit, you know, other teams that have a high draft pick who may want to go up and get this man, but you aren't able to look at him. So, you know, you're kind of, you know, taking him at his word, looking at history from Alabama's perspective and calling, you know, their people trying to get an understanding or a feel for how his body responds. So, you know, there is some hesitation there. There is some cause to pause, so to speak. There is to be some type of hurdle you have to overlook. But at the end of the day, you know, you have enough game film. You have enough pro day film. You have enough, you know, tape and understanding. I'm sure there's some, you know, voice conversations going back and forth and some interviews being done via Skype and Zoom and things of that nature where you're able to get a feel for a potential prospect. So even though you're not physically in the building with the prospect or with the candidate, you're still able to get a vibe for that guy and see if he fits your system based on how you have him ranked. So, I do think that, you know, it is different, but, you know, the show must go on. And I'm very, very encouraged by reading the reports from the different managers and the GMs that are figuring out creative ways to still do business as usual at this time of year. The draft is going to happen on time. Mr. Goodell sent the memo out last week, so teams are needing to adjust and needing to figure out a way to get that work done. So I commend the people for doing that, and it's going to be interesting to see how it all pans out.
Sorry about that, boys. I had myself muted. Timeless, I'm going to come over to you. Give me your thoughts on just how this pandemic is going to affect, you know, the draft as you see it. And I'm gonna actually cut it off to you, and I'm going to ask the next set of panelists a different question. So you're going to wrap this one up. So give me your final thoughts on COVID-19 and how it's going to affect 2021.
Well, I'll keep it quick, and I want to just, you know, tag off of what Terry's just said. And just looking at a guy like Tua, a guy that has to go out there and impress a team to come after him, because to be honest, it's a hip situation, and I don't know how many people remember back to the late 80s and early 90s, but I'm going to be truthful. One of my heroes was Bo Jackson, and Bo Jackson's career ended because of his hip. And now, knowing that we have technology and how it's been an increase in the medical field has been great. But this guy's coming out of college, and he's severely injury-prone. Like, this isn't the only thing that hobbles him. He has bad ankles as well. So if he's not out there to give them reps and show out that he can be mobile in a quicker set, because, you know, the defenses are way quicker than what he sees in college, it might set him back. And then looking at some of the draft boards, including – a guy that I don't like following, but, you know, he's all over the draft situation in Kuiper.
Kiper said that he's dropped. So Tua might not even be there in the top five. So this may hurt him. So just like a guy in Tua's sense that has injury issues, this could set him back. I don't want this to happen because I am a big Tua fan, even though I don't like Alabama, but I love this guy, the way that he can make these passes. But if he's not able to go out there and show these teams that need a quarterback right now that could end up being a franchise type of caliber quarterback, this hurts him and his opportunity. And if he does have that chip on his shoulder, similar to what Tom Brady did coming out of Michigan, this would be one of those six-round missed picks. Not to say that Tua will fall that far back, but he'll be a miss, and then next thing you know, he'll end up being a star out of nowhere. And it's like, how many people overlooked him? So this situation that we're all dealing with across the country can end up hurting him or helping him. I don't know how I can really say helping him, but they're trying to give that devil's advocate or play defense on the situation.
All right, Matt, I'm going to move on to our next question here, and that is Cam Newton. So Cam Newton obviously was recently released from the Carolina Panthers after Carolina signed Teddy Bridgewater to a fairly lucrative contract to become the starter. Where do you see Cam Newton going from here? Obviously, there's already been a lot of quarterbacks like Tom Brady, Phillip Rivers, Teddy Bridgewater that have already signed, so there is limited places available. Where do you ultimately see Cam Newton playing next year? What uniform is he in?
That's a tough one. I mean, there's quite a bit of speculation on that one. I mean, you know, I would love for him to come home to Atlanta. I know the Falcons won't do that. We got Matty Ice. That he is from Atlanta, at least as far as his high school. He went to Westlake. You know, he also played at Auburn. I was a big fan of him then. I've been a big fan of him. He's kind of hasn't had the career that everybody thought he would at when he made the Super Bowl. I'll throw out a random team, and you guys can laugh at me, but maybe the New York Jets. I don't know how, I don't know why, but maybe Cam the Scam goes up to New York. Your thoughts, Brian?
I'll be honest, man. Out of all the teams that I've been racking my brain trying to find a fit for, the Jets were definitely not one of them. But we saw when Sam Darnold went down how atrocious the play was there. So I definitely think they could use a quarterback, Matt. That's definitely on the table still. But I don't know if Cam's going to want to come in as a backup, and I don't think they're going to want to have Cam compete with Darnold at this point in his career. But Naj, let me come over to you. Same thing, man. Cam Newton, so iconic. I mean, MVP 2-3 years ago, and now he's looking for a job halfway through free agency. Ultimately, where do you see Cam Newton going, and where do you think is the best fit for him?
Well, honestly, I think the best fit is the Chargers. It's ready-made for him. They already got weapons there. Keenan Allen is a legit number one. You get Austin Eckler out of the backfield. Maybe the tight end is healthy. But overall, man, look, Bill O'Brien holds the title of GM. There are a lot of people who are not good at their job in the NFL, and every year the free agency market shows us that. We see guys get overpaid. We see guys get overvalued. And then we see scared money. NFL teams scared to take a risk. Cam Newton is a guy worth taking a risk on. So you get him for much cheaper than you normally would. If it works out, you're good. If it doesn't, you move on. But I think the Chargers are the best fit. But, dude, when you look at people giving Phillip Rivers money and Ryan Tannehill money and all this other stuff, like, at a certain point, we got to realize this, man. Some of these people are not good at their job. We give them way too much country. And I'm just going to end it on Bill O'Brien. That's just, I mean, come on, man.
Absolutely, man. Nacho, let me ask you. I want to ask you the same question. Naj brought up the Chargers, and you know the Chargers have pretty adamantly said, "Look, we're entering the season with Tyrod Taylor as our guy," which could be a ploy. But I tried to think up a couple other teams that I think potentially could be interesting. And here's a couple that I came up with. You tell me if they're decent fits or not. So, one, the Denver Broncos.
The reason why is because obviously they have Drew Lock there, but they just recently released Joe Flacco. Very rarely do you release a veteran quarterback when you have a rookie or a guy that started less than 16 games as your starter and have no backups on the roster unless you're planning on doing something. So I put the Denver Broncos there. I think defensively, you know, and even offensively, I think they're closer than it may appear. The next one is the Jacksonville Jaguars. You know, he played his college ball down in that area in the South. I think he could get people excited about that franchise. I know everybody's excited about Gardner Minshew, but I think Minshew needs to develop a little bit. And this is the one I'm just going to, you know, this isn't the Raiders, so don't get overly excited, Norm. But, you know, the Darth Vader music starts playing right now. What if he went to New England? What if Bill Belichick decided to take a risk on Cam Newton and bring him in? Because in his mind, as much as Tom Brady wants to show New England, hey, you know what, I can win without you, I would think that Bill Belichick would want to do the exact same thing, and you're not going to do that with Jared Stidham or Brian Hoyer as your quarterback. I don't care how well you scheme it up. So with those possibilities in mind, what's your thoughts?
If they're giving you those three options, I believe that New England would quite be the best bet. You go up there and you have everything pretty much ready-made for you, and you add mobility to what they were lacking in a position at the quarterback for 20 years. So maybe he likes to do something there. I like that one. The other two make sense, but you don't have Bill Belichick. So I think that's the only thing that would make me swing towards New England if he did want to go up there. He'd come on the Chiefs, and let's not forget Mr. Belichick and the football god that he is has taken in many, many troubled players, whether it be off-the-field issues, injury issues, getting big paychecks and not living up to them, bringing them in and then flourishing. Now, again, not every single one turned out to be the best decision, but more often than not, he knows how to turn, you know, water into wine or charcoal into diamonds. That's the man up there and anyone you want to suggest to go up there. But if you're asking me where he goes this season, I think the crazy thing is COVID-19 shuts down everything. He has to wait for someone to get injured. The way this is going, side tangent, I believe, is why Clowney's not getting picked up. They close down all positions. You're not able to check this guy out with your own doctors. You're not able to bring this guy in just to sit him down, maybe see him throw a few passes on the field. You're just getting Instagram live videos from him. And until this is over, which looks like it's going to be mid-May, after the draft, teams are going to want to get together, get the teams together, get the quarterback situation in order, not bring in someone at that point, and try to start anew. So I think he ends up on no team because of what has been going on with COVID, the fact that there is no way that he has been able to visit anyone, a huge reason why I believe he was not traded for, because teams were not able to get him in for a physical, teams were not able to see him. Then it just got worse and worse and stricter and stricter and harder to get to him. So this is a situation I think is it couples and it worsens for him because of the injury and because a team that went out and got two quarterbacks that are mobile, that can throw the ball, one is Teddy Bridgewater, and then one who is lighting up the XFL and P.J. Walker, who was with Matt Rhule in the college days. So we have two quarterbacks that he's, you know, one that he's familiar with and two that we would say are just smaller Cam Newtons. I don't know about Teddy Bridgewater. He's more of a pocket guy, but you get what I'm saying. There's mobility there, and it's just, you know, you wonder why couldn't you work with that with Cam Newton. That begs the question why teams won't go give him a chance until they're able to see him. They won't be able to see him until it's too late. They'll have to wait, you know, God forbid, knock on wood, until someone's starting position is given up.
All right. I do want to go over to Sirius because I've actually had multiple Pittsburgh Steelers fans tell me that after watching
the ungodly play at quarterback last year, that multiple people told me that they would very much be in favor of signing Cam Newton to the Pittsburgh Steelers. You guys were 8-8 last year, Sirius, and I think there's a reasonable argument to be made that he, you know, obviously he don't know the offense as well, but he, you could make the argument that he might have a better skill set at this point than Big Ben. What's your thoughts on potentially signing Cam Newton to the black and gold?
I'm against it wholeheartedly for a couple reasons, and I'll lay them out for you real quick. First and foremost, it's injury history. I'm not going to waste my time with a guy who can't help me. He's been injured far too long. That's first and foremost. Second of all, you're coming in to be a backup. Cam Newton is a former NFL MVP. He's a Super Bowl participant at the quarterback position, and now you want him to come in and be a backup to Big Ben? Like, I just don't see Cam accepting that role. You know what I'm saying? I don't see Cam. I don't see Jameis. I don't see these former NFL starters coming into Pittsburgh and accepting their role as a backup. You know what I'm saying? I don't see that. And thirdly, and most importantly, Cam Newton, even though when he was healthy, he wasn't very accurate with the football. And I'm not going to, again, I don't want another quarterback in my building who can't throw the football. We had Mason Rudolph doing that. We have Doug Dobbins doing that. I'm praying we draft Jalen Hurts to do that next year, but that's another conversation of the day. I do not want an injury-prone quarterback to back up Big Ben should he go down. I want somebody that's going to come in there and do it. And up until I haven't seen Cam healthy outside of his MVP year. Ever since then, he's been hurt. I have nothing to go off of. So I'm adamantly against that.
Well, they're going to need something because Big Ben ain't going to last the whole year. He's done.
No. And Big Ben has been regressive for years. Like, the book on Big Ben.
I see you talking.
Yeah, the book on
Big Ben has been regressive
for years? Wow. Yeah.
Big Ben is
years,
Big
Ben.
Big Ben played two games.
He played two games, got all pouty face, and said, "I'm gonna retire."
Big Ben played two games, had a broken elbow, hurt his elbow.
Big Ben got all pouty face. I'm not having fun.
No.
He got all pouty face.
Hey, hold on. Beyond that, let's go to the tangible stuff. We're talking about the last 2.5 years, he has not been able to practice. He has not been able to play without getting a shot before the game. Like, we're not talking about normal regression or normal damaged body. We're talking about a walking wounded guy who you hope can show up on a Sunday. Not a season, on a Sunday. And then we talk about his weight, the fact that all of the holding the ball and staying in the pocket and absorbing all those hits has kind of added up the same way Cam running for those short yardage has kind of added up on him. So I see them 100%. As two of the same.
And if you're
Cam's agent, ain't no way in hell you letting Cam, Jameis, or any of them walk into anybody's building as a backup. And if you're Ben's agent, you show as hell ain't letting him come in the door as his backup. So, there's no way that works.
Well, here's the other thing to consider, too, just to piggyback off of what Nas is saying. So I'm not saying that Big Ben isn't a talent and that he's probably, I mean, because Eli is going to get in, that Big Ben isn't a Hall of Famer. But you have to also keep in mind that according to the players, there's multiple players that have literally left Pittsburgh based on the fact that they did not get along with Big Ben. You're talking about an older quarterback and a younger team. And I'm not saying that Big Ben is to blame for all that. Obviously, we know Antonio Brown has some issues. You can say what you want about Le'Veon, but I'm just saying that's something to consider. If you could get a younger guy right now.
In his prime, it was worth putting up with.
Correct. Yeah. That's what I was just going to say. But if you could get a Jameis Winston right now and swap those guys out, you're talking about a guy who has 30 touchdowns, 5,000 passing yards upside, and he's still young?
man, that'd be hard to pass. That'd be hard to pass up on. That's all I'm saying. But
it'd be very. I mean, again, I do have. If we were getting that Cam Newton, if we were getting that Jameis Winston, this would be a moot point. But we're not.
Well, Jameis put up those stats last year. 5,000.
Wait, the man threw the ball. He threw the ball to the other team 30 times, bro.
I get it. I get it, but how much of that is coaching, and how much you still have to have the ability to throw for 5,000 yards and 30 touchdowns? It's not a coincidence you lead the league in passing yards.
Come on now,
and passing touchdowns.
Come on.
He's a home run hitter.
This dude has been down in every game. A lot of those yards was garbage yards. You know that. Don't try that with me, man.
Brian, before you put the topic, I want to say something. Before you put the topic.
Go ahead, Timeless. Go ahead.
Rudolph with your nose so bright, won't you guys?
I hate you so much. I hate you so much.
Hey, all I'm saying is my own Garrett's getting his helmet ready.
Now, the fact that he started games is already an indictment of that Pittsburgh quarterback room. But look, Jameis is everything people say he is. He's scatterbrained, he makes erratic mistakes, and he's not consistent. But at his age, for the price that you would have to pay, he's definitely worth putting on your roster. And like I said, this kind of shows, like, NFL teams go by old dogma, and they don't know how to adapt, and they don't know how to think outside the box. Somebody should definitely get that dude in their build. He's worth trying to fix, man.
Absolutely.
And look, yes, he's going to throw picks, but he's worth trying to fix if you can get him for the low. How many of y'all would go buy a polo tomorrow from Nordstrom? Probably not. You know, you don't think about it much, white polo. But if you go to Nordstrom's and it's 60% off and you see that white polo, you're like, yeah, you know what? I kind of want to buy a polo today.
Come on, go get it.
So you go get
Jameis,
you go get Cam, any of these guys, and you make it happen.
Let's be honest. Once you get the polo, you're like, you know what? That fedora don't look bad either.
Right. I think the best case scenario for Cam is New England, because New England already has a system, and I think they could work with him with that run pass offense situation. So it could work. It depends on how fast he can pick that offense up, and if he can be disciplined to understand what message Belichick is trying to send. I think that will definitely be a good suitor for him.
Well,
this,
Cam
this
is
this
the
thing
is
I want to
say
about Cam Newton.
Bill ain't
here's the
one
thing I
want to
say about Cam
deal.
Newton. I want you guys to
like,
listen real quick. This is the one thing that I want to say about Cam Newton. Cam Newton, I have not been watching football as long as maybe some of you guys. I've been watching since the 80s, the early 80s. Cam Newton, when he first came into the league, was the most talented quarterback I'd ever seen. He could run, he could hit, he could throw. He could do everything, anything you asked. He had a cannon for an arm. He could throw. He could run for days. He could shake off tacklers. But here's the thing. I don't want to hear run-pass option if I'm Cam Newton or if I'm his agent. We're not doing any more run-pass option because that's what got him in the position he's in right now. He's already proven that he can be a Pro Bowl caliber quarterback if you just let him be a quarterback and stop trying to make him be a damn running back.
Right, but do you think he's a proven pocket passer, or does that bring a threat to the defense to respect him? Like, that's going to always be a part of Cam's game at the end of the day. I understand that you don't want to hear it, but the defenses have to respect him. Every time he says hike, the front seven pause. They all stay still. They got to worry about if he's going to take off or not. Because if they all drop back in the coverage, you got four guys that are already being picked up in blocking, and Cam could pick up anywhere, to be fair, 3 to 6 yards. If he falls down twice, it's the first down.
I'm not saying have the ability to scramble. What I'm saying is if I'm Cam or his agent, I'm not signing anywhere that wants to institute any kind of RPO.
Well, then he's going to have to retire.
He should not be in a system anymore where he is RPO reliant. When you have guys, and I'm going to pick on Sirius just because that's what we're doing today. When you got guys like Mason Rudolph starting in the NFL, there should be a job for a guy like Cam Newton. When you got guys like Jacoby Brissett starting in the NFL, there should be a job for a guy like Cam Newton, and he shouldn't have to run around and get beat up to get that job. That's all I'm saying.
No, you're correct in that. The only problem is he's not a dude like Michael Vick or somebody who runs for chunk yards. Cam is the greatest short yard specialist we've ever seen at quarterback. So those third and two, that's how they would extend drives with lesser talent on the outside, because he never really played with a number one except for Steve Smith. So he was their offense. He generated everything. The trouble was you accumulate a lot of hits running that short yardage stuff against defensive linemen. So if Bill signs up to a one-year deal, all of that's going to be in play. He's still going to be running. The question is going to be is if he's healthy. Because if he's not healthy and the ball is sailing on him again because of that shoulder, then no, he can't be himself. But people think he's inaccurate. They're actually wrong. Cam is actually very accurate. The trouble was he's playing with people who got no separation. So all they did was try to threaten you deep down the field with Ted Ginn and some of the other burners, and then try to have Cam carve you up over the middle with Olsen, the short yardage stuff. But he's actually accurate. That's another take that has been told way too much when I watch guys like Andy Dalton, Ben Roethlisberger, like some of these guys who are inaccurate to a degree now. And I'm talking about the end of Ben Roethlisberger. I ain't talking about prime Ben. We all know prime Ben's the Hall of Famer. Not hate.
My only issue, and again, we're gonna wrap up and do whatever we need to do, is that is Cam going to be willing to go into a situation to be a backup? Because like my man alluded to earlier, at this point, the starter positions, unless you're the LA Chargers or the New England Patriots, are pretty much spoken for. If Cam is willing to go into a situation, be a backup, work his way back onto the field, then
hold on. Serious. Let's talk about those starting quarterback spots. Washington, you're telling me that Washington don't have a need for a starting quarterback, like a legit quarterback, or the Denver
when
Broncos?
When Ron Rivera came out,
the Miami
Dolphins. Ron Rivera came out and said he doesn't want him again. Let's not forget who the head coach is watching the Redskins are right now. His old head coach. The Miami Dolphins
Too many people assume when you draft a quarterback high that you have to immediately play them. I'm telling you right now, if I was the Cincinnati Bengals, I would totally take a flyer on Cam Newton and let Joe Burrow sit here.
Then why haven't they done
it? He's going to get absolutely murdered behind that offensive line. I think it is so critical to a quarterback's development. If you look at every young quarterback that has success when they come out of the league, and I'm not saying 100%, guys. I'm sure you can always find outliers. But I'm saying you look at Aaron Rodgers, he had Brett Favre to learn from, right? You look at some of these guys, Patrick Mahomes, he sat behind Alex Smith, watched how he did it. I'm not saying you got to sit a whole year, but there is a vastly different speed to the game when you go from the college to the pros, and everything else you have to learn, being the offense and the checks and the keys and everything else. It would be nice to have a veteran quarterback that you could rely on early in the development of that franchise signal caller. If I was one of those guys, Miami, Cincinnati, Denver, the Chargers, I would be hitting the cabinets on all those guys, Cam Newton, Winston, all those guys.
But the one you said earlier is probably the best one, Jacksonville, because Minshew's not actually an NFL starting caliber quarterback. He's kind of a backup, like, fan favorite guy, but he's not really good.
Right.
That would be a good spot for one of these quarterbacks, man, but like I said, this is going to be tough, man, because, Phil, they create narratives about people, and once that spreads throughout different offices, it becomes hard to get a job. But there's no way Jameis or Cam should accept a back row, man. It's crazy.
Well, boys, we are unfortunately just about out of time, and I have a ton of chefs in the building here, and I feel like I didn't even give, my co-host, TP Timeless, Sirius, Matt, Naj and even Nacho a whole lot of opportunity to talk about much. So what I'm going to do is I'm going to ask each one of you guys a question here on the way out, and then any plugs or shout outs or anything like that that you want to give. And I'm going to start with you, Nacho. Nacho, the Bears just traded a fourth round pick for Nick Foles and that contract of his. Good move, bad move, and what does this signify to the Bears organization and their fan base?
After reading that move, let's all remember Ryan Pace won executive this year a couple of years ago. The fact that they did that is laughable. It's fun. Knee to me. You take on that contract, a week later Cam Newton's free on the market. So, again, hindsight 2020, but still, there were quarterbacks that were going to be released that were probably cheaper. You didn't have to take on as big a contract as you did with Nick Foles. Even though I still believe their structure is still a big deal. It's not good. He's not a good quarterback for an entire season. He can give you a few stretches in backup duty as a team in the most glorious backup duty ever. But he's not a season-long quarterback. As we've also seen with Mr. Trubisky, he's not a season-long quarterback, especially when you had a defense a couple years ago that was, you know, like, so it's definitely, as a Packer fan, awesome to see. I get to laugh at every friend of mine that bought a Mr. Trubisky jersey, and I get to laugh at him again as we sweep him once this season starts, hopefully on time. It's just everything I think every Packer fan wanted. We get validation that Trubisky is trash, and then we get more validation that they also don't know what they're doing. And Ryan Pace is just, you know, scoring up again and again and again. And I still think they have no first and picks next year. So let's see what they do. And Chicago, enjoy the losing to come. At Nacho in the Box, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram. Bears fans, get at me. We can go all day. I got nothing but brooms for you. After that, everyone stay safe. Social distancing, we all know. Everyone on this line, I hope everyone's staying safe and doing their thing. I'm in a part of the country where it's not really affecting as much. We have been locked down, but as an essential worker, I'm still able to go to work and do my thing. I keep my social distance, and my community is doing their thing to keep their social distancing, keeping clean, and keeping our way. Again, it's a lot easier out here. I know it's harder for the coast and places like L.A. Y'all stay safe. Thank you for letting me come on, say my piece. Thank you very much, Brian. Have a good night.
All right, man. Thank you so much, Nacho. I appreciate it. I'm going to go on over to you now, Naj. So Atlanta made what some people would consider to be somewhat of a curious move when they released Devontae Freeman and then less than a week later signed Todd Gurley for almost the exact same contract figure. Granted, it is only for 1 year. Do you feel like Atlanta actually got any better, considering how often Gurley plays and what he's been giving when he has been playing?
Yep, same thing as earlier, 50% on rack, man. You take the shot on him for 1 year, you draft the guy too, and then next year you can move on from him if he doesn't do what people think he does. But I like it, though. I think it was definitely worth it. Shout out to y'all, though, for the show, man. Let me get out y'all way because I took up way too much time. Let somebody else get it.
Naj, it's always a pleasure, my man. You stop by anytime you want every Monday, 9 to 10 your time. We always appreciate your insight, man. All right, Matt, I'm going to come on over to you. Matt, so the highest paid quarterback right now is just under $35 million. And Dak Prescott still has not been paid, as you know. So my question to you is, with the TV revenue coming in, will Dak Prescott be the first $40 million a year quarterback? What's your thoughts?
Man, I really hope not, because I don't think he's earned it, in my opinion, guys. You know, what has he really done? I mean, has he maybe won one playoff game? I mean, he hasn't proven anything to me. They should actually probably decrease his salary. He should be making about maybe $10 million a year, and even that's reaching, in my opinion. But someone like Brady, who's been in the league for years, won, you know, 5 or 6 Super Bowls, he deserves that type of contract. But someone that's unproven, like Prescott, granted, he is a role of talent, but I cannot believe he rejected the contract he did. But we'll see. You know, if he gets the Super Bowl, then I'll definitely think he's worth more money. But thanks for having me on the show, guys. Good luck to everybody with their health. Let's try to get through this. My topic that I would have brought up for everybody was, when do you think the first NFL actual game, and we'll just stick with the regular season, when do you all think it will be, when it's supposed to be in early September, or do you think it'll be delayed? That's all I got, guys.
Okay.
I'll see you next time.
All right. Good stuff, Matt. Thank you very much. I will give TP Timeless your question, Matt, since you're still waiting here. Timeless, do you think with the COVID-19 concerns, do you think that the NFL season is going to end up getting delayed like so many other sports seasons, like basketball, like baseball? Do you end up seeing this actually impacting the NFL regular season?
Well, I get that question. That's horrible. I don't know, because we got time right now, at least to find out within this month in May. At least I want to say worst-case scenario that this starts to filter into the month of May, but I think they still have enough time to take care of stuff for the draft and, you know, OTAs and things of that nature. So I think they'll be right in line to get into the season. If this does filter into June and set them back into the month of July, then we'll look at the pushback. But I think that they're still on schedule. If they still plan on having the draft originally as scheduled, I think that everything is going to go according to plan in a hopeful manner. I don't want to talk bad into existence, but I hope for it to go that way. If I have to pick A or B, I think that they're on schedule for regular scheduling.
All right, good stuff, Timeless. I appreciate you. Thank you very much. Sirius, I'm going to come over to you. So this coming Tuesday, which is tomorrow, NFL owners and players are supposed to be voting, executives are supposed to be voting on the 17-game season and the proposed extended playoff bracketology, if you will, which basically would have meant that your Steelers would have got in as the one additional seed in the AFC and the Rams would have got in as the one additional seed in the NFC, basically making it to where now only one team, the one seed, gets a bye, and basically seeds 2 through 7 actually will play and basically ends up making 2 more additional games. What's your thoughts on the expansion of the season, number one, the 17 games, and two, what's your thoughts on expanding the playoffs to add in an additional team?
You know, honestly, man, I'm against it all. I do believe that there was some good that came out of the new CBA agreement, as far as, you know, financially and everything like this. But you got to understand that this is a violent game, you know, and you're asking these men to add an additional game, and you're punishing the second place team for not being one, you know, getting a bye, and I don't like it at all. I do understand that, you know, based off the new CBA, that you are removing the preseason game, reducing that from 4 to 3, but let's keep it funky. Most of these starters only play a game and a half, you know, of action, you know, if you chop it up between the 3 games, so to speak, or maybe a quarter, so to speak. So, I don't like it at all. I think if it's not broke, there's no need to fix it. The playoff structure, as we previously had it constructed, wasn't broken. They had more pressing issues to address as far as dealing with retirement and officials and things of that nature. I just think they meddled too much with it. So I'm against it all. once again, man, thanks for letting me come on. You know, it's been a long time since I've been able to sit down and just talk sports with you guys, man. It's great to get back to doing what we do. Man, definitely check me out on Facebook, Twitter, man. Your boy CS up in that 412 to 703, hating everything TP Thomas loves, doing it ever since I met this brother, man. God bless you guys. Y'all be safe, man. Your boy CS is gone.
All right, thank you, Sirius. Hope to hear from you soon. Appreciate you joining us here tonight. Norm, it's just me and you, buddy. I know
yes,
you
sir.
Didn't get to share that mic very much, but I do appreciate you hanging out for some additional time here. So what I want to do for you is I'm going to give you an open mic airway here and just say, you know, What do you find with free agency going on right now and everything else? What do you find as some of the most compelling or interesting things going on in the NFL? And what are you the most excited about, you know, as far as this year is concerned?
You know, it's a big factor in signing some of these players that are getting older in their careers. And then you have a lot of, like, I go through the top 20 names still available. There's a lot of names that pop out, but they're just names. Maybe they were drafted high. Maybe they showed a little potential here or there. People forget, and these GMs, not all of them are that great. Some of these guys, and I don't like to ever accuse them, but you can always look after the fact. Some of them don't really want to play. I think some of them just, they've gone so far down the path. They're a pro football player, and this is how they're going to make their money. And so a lot of them are just hanging around, trying to get the most money they can on the contract, and then they just flame out. So sometimes it's not the general manager's fault that they sign a guy and he's supposed to be the next one that does this and that, and they just end up not playing. You know, I mean, and when you think of it, it's an interesting factor that some of these guys, I mean, they just play the system because the system ultimately plays the players. I mean, these poor players get beat up over the course of whatever it's 3 to 10 years, however long they play, and what'd you come away with it? And when you look at some of these guys that sign a lucrative deal and play only 10 games and then get cut and sign another one and then sign another one and sign another one. Hey, they come out $20 million and they played very little. So that's just another factor in these. And so you look at, like, this stage in the game, and I hate to use Cam Newton as an example because I think he's a great player. He's done a lot, a tremendous athlete. How much does he really want to play anymore, though? I'm not so sure he does. That's just my opinion. So something to think about. Maybe that's why he's not landed on a spot yet.
All very good points, my friend. I definitely appreciate you joining me here, as you do every Monday night. I apologize to those of you listening in that we weren't able to go last week. That was 100% on me. Mr. Norm was definitely ready to go. I had a family issue to attend to. But I do want to let you guys know, and hopefully this is exciting for some of you guys listening in, we already wrapped up our AFC team needs. We thought we'd take a break and talk about the free agency as free agency broke. But, Norm, next week we're going to get back to the nuts and bolts. We're going to go ahead and dive into the NFC West. And if we have time, we'll do the NFC East as well. But I want to make sure we leave plenty of time so that we can discuss this stuff. So we'll definitely talk NFC West team needs. And you know, some of these teams, especially Arizona, San Francisco, so many teams have made some big moves, so these team needs are definitely gonna have changed since what they were prior to free agency. But I just want to say thank you for all the people that listen in, everybody that continues to download us on iTunes. We definitely appreciate it. We hope that during this trying time where, you know, everyone's having to practice social distancing and you're stuck at your house and you're trying to find things to do, we hope that just being able to listen to the show and take your mind off of things, even if it's just for, you know, an hour or two, we hope you appreciate it. And the Sports City Chefs will continue to do that for you, you know, at least a couple times a week. So, Norm, until next week, definitely appreciate you, buddy. Just want to give a quick shout-out to TP Timeless, who always comes in, Matt, Sirius, Naj, Nacho. We had a phenomenal turnout tonight. We didn't get to all the topics, Norm, but you know, the loyalty and the love inside the kitchen is pretty strong. So from all of us here at the Sports City Chefs Network, we'll see you next week, 3 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. Call in, ask a question, or you can just simply listen to the show. But till then, we're out.
See ya.
Classic hip-hop shit, Dr. D-R-E, Rose and Jay. Let's get them. We started out mopping floors, and now we front row at the awards. Number one for the last 20 years. If you real, motherfucker, scream cheers. Motherfucker, scream cheers.